Hey now, welcome to the Dirty Side of the Track, America's leading Formula One podcast. I'm Brian, that's Rob. There have been a ton of news stories this week. Should we talk about any of them there, Robert?
I'm thinking we have a news and social special edition this week. We will hit regular old news, then we'll open up the video vault, and then we will make space for two rather large stories that came through this week. If you've been living under a rock in the world of Formula One, we had some Andretti news and we had some driver change news coming through, but yeah. You know, we'll hit that later. Yeah, and before we get into the news, I do just have to say, even though it's got nothing to do with Formula One, we are recording about 5 minutes after Arsenal have just beaten Liverpool 3-1, and I've got my Arsenal cap on, and I'm very happy. So there may be a lot of rose-tinted views in today's show, because yeah. I'm just like, doesn't matter, I'm happy.
Rob's rants will be blunted by Arsenal's
There won't be any
win.
Rob's rants today. Exactly. It'll be like, Rob loves everything today. But and I do love the first story.
Me too, wow, me too. Way. And we talked a little about this last week, so hit it, because it's a good one.
Yeah, we were getting a little bit worried that like some of the proper circuits were going to drop away, and you talked about how Japan were looking to have a city race in Osaka, I think. We were like, yep. Oh no, and Suzuka's got a short-term contract left, what's going to happen? They've just extended till 2029.
Woo! Yes, thank you, it deserves one of these. Oh, fantastic. I didn't even see this news. You found it. And I was so excited when I found the note that you put in there, because I love Suzuka. I think everybody does. Does anyone not
Suzuka track? Figure of eight track where it goes underneath the self. It's just fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Instantly makes it amazing.
I mean, when people like Seb are like, you know what, I'm retiring, but if anyone ever wants me to drive Suzuka, call me. Otherwise, goodbye. The other news that made me excited, and this actually came out on Sunday a week ago after we'd recorded, was F1, Formula One licensing, has applied for trademarks for the Chicago Grand Prix, Formula One Chicago Grand Prix, Grand Prix of Chicago, and the Formula One Grand Prix of Chicago. Oh man, this caused quite a stir in my household and in my pants when I saw this news, and I was pretty excited about it. Now, I know, we all know, that doesn't mean there's a fourth race coming to the U.S. necessarily. I mean, I have website domains for companies I've thought of starting and never started. They're just being smart in case it happens one day, and they're getting those licenses. But I was so excited when I saw this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know you were, and I absolutely, do you know what, if there was Avon, Connecticut Grand Prix, I would probably go back on my whole street race sucks viewpoint.
Well, we don't know it's a street race. Maybe they're building a track.
No, but of course it would be, right? It's probably. It would be to mimic, was it NASCAR that ran a street circuit in Chicago?
They did, the first ever street circuit in Chicago last summer.
So, but what I didn't get is that someone was saying it was good business sense because it stopped. Well, Formula One doesn't got anything to do with NASCAR, but just licensing Chicago Grand Prix means that no one else can kind of get in there. But NASCAR wouldn't call it that, right?
They wouldn't call it a
Grand
Prix.
I wasn't quite sure what the angle was there, but they were like, oh yeah, it's good for merchandise and whatever. I'm like, I don't get it. I'm sure someone smarter than me understands why they've done this, even if they have no desire to run a race there. But
Exactly. I'm really curious to see if in the years coming, if there's any real rumors of a race in Chicago. And you're right, it probably would be a street track. That would be a bit of a bummer, but you're probably right there. And if it does happen, you're welcome to stay here at my place. We'll take the train in, watch the race.
Ooh.
Done.
Do you know what? I will be the world's biggest hypocrite, and I will happily go along to a street race if that happens.
I mean, there's a lot of sights that Chicago has. Could you imagine going over like the Michigan Avenue, the bridge over the
river?
No, I just
want them to do circles around the jelly bean thing. That's what they've got to do to keep me happy. Well, they could turn the bean into a sphere.
That's a good point. No sphere. The next news story was that Haas launched their livery. And I'm saying this because I had said Haas was going to be my favorite of the launches. And Rob said it would be his least favorite of the launches. And it definitely isn't going to be my favorite of the launches. We can cross that off now. Strike out it being the best. I don't think it's going to be the worst. But that's obviously up to you to decide for your bet. But for me, it was very meh. Somebody on the Discord said it was just meh. That's exactly right. If you have the colors black, white, and red, nailed it. Black, white, and red, and they came out with this, could have been a lot better. I guess it could have been worse, but it could have been so much better.
I can't put my finger on what it is about it that just doesn't work. Like, in theory, that red, white, black color scheme should just be amazing.
Should be.
And even when you look at the side-on view, the way they've got now Haas molded around the AirPod
Sidepod,
much better
yeah.
than they have in the past. Oh,
Yes.
that looks amazing. But all the other bits just don't seem to work. It's too busy.
It
It's
is.
too something. I'm going to say it's kind of a solid 6 out of 10. So while McLaren still is, in theory, after seeing two, and I said that McLaren would be my favorite and Haas would be my least favorite.
You're
Right now,
still in
I'm two for
first, yeah.
two, but I do think that there'll be something better than McLaren. I do think there'll be something worse than Haas. So
I
I
agree.
don't think I'm going to be right on either score, but
And
we'll
we do
see.
have more coming up for anyone listening on Sunday. Tomorrow, Monday, we have Sauber and Williams, and then we have Alpine, we have Toro Rosso. All of those happened this week. So before we talk to you again, we'll see four more
Williams, I'm
cars.
gutted about because I'm not
Why?
down. Last few weeks I've been down in New York
Oh,
for
you won't
business
be there
trips,
on
and
Monday?
this week I'm not. And of course that's the week that I think they're doing it in the Puma store.
The
And
Puma
I've sort of
store?
been
Yeah.
there. And last week I found just as I was leaving New York that apparently Lando's McLaren was in the Abercrombie and Fitch store on Fifth. And I was looking at every possible way of did I have enough time to get up there and take a picture of the car and get off my train again, but no dice. So I was like, okay, it's fine. I'll take a look at it when I go back down again. Yeah, it was being
So
removed today.
the rumors are, right? Obviously, Sauber is going to have that green, kind of neon green, and a lot of black. And we're seeing a lot more cars where it's a, an unpainted black because it saves weight. So I'm sort of assuming that's what we'll see out of Sauber is a lot of unfinished carbon fiber black with that neon green. Williams, on the other hand, I saw a teaser on Reddit that showed Albon getting ready for his thing in a white driver's uniform. And it looked a little bit like a martini thing on the side. God, please let it
No,
happen.
it that's not.
That's
Calm
it's
down, Brian.
0.1%, but if something happens like that, I will lose my mind and run around the house. And then we'll see Alpine, and they've had a couple teasers of their own. And the last one, before we lead into a Toro Rosso story, is somebody said with authority that they're bringing back a feel of the Toro Rosso colors. We'll see if that's accurate or not on the 8th.
Yeah, I mean that one for me is like worst name, but does actually stand a chance of being decent. Decent livery. Even if they just stick to the foundational of that logo, the blue and the white, that's a
Right.
nice blue.
It is.
And with a decent splash of white in there, that could be a good livery, even if the name sucks. So, but talking of
Yes.
Visa Cash App, Rosso, Toro, Minardi,
Minardi.
they're making three big appointments. So we kind of mentioned a few of these people's names when they left previous roles and we didn't know who they were. And now they're coming to Toro Rosso and we still don't know who they are. But, it's been movement. So former McLaren technical director Tim Goss has come in as chief technical officer. Alain Permain, sat by Renault, is going to be in charge of engineering operations at races as racing director. And the last one, Brian, is come on, you're better at
We're going to
pronunciations
call
than
him
I am.
GC.
So
Guillaume Catalani.
he's coming from Red Bull senior team as deputy technical director. So yeah, there we are.
And a couple quick notes before we get into the vault and the news. Renato on the Discord, shout out Renato. It's like 2 weeks in a row, brother. He went to the Jack Daniel's distillery. And while he was there, he found a collab, as the youth would say today, between Jack Daniels and McLaren. And they have Jack Daniels bottles with the papaya on it. And on the side, it says Jack Daniels and Bruce McLaren, and then goes into espouse how the two men were similar in certain ways. He had no idea about the partnership. He said he bought 14 bottles. I'm just kidding. He didn't actually buy 14 bottles. Renato doesn't have Rob's drinking problem. And
No,
so.
I'm kind of waiting for our complimentary ones to come through the post, Brian. Nothing's turned up yet.
I didn't expect that. But anyway, that looked really cool. So, Renato, thanks for sharing that on the Discord. And by the way, you guys should all join the Discord before the season starts. It's a little slow in the off season, I'll be honest, but once the season gets going, we have a good time on there. And the last note is a big one, Rob. Are you ready for free publicity? Do you like free publicity? Let me ask you
I
that.
love free publicity.
Do
Love
you
it.
like it when it's live on television nationwide? Maybe
I
even
love it even
worldwide.
more then.
Yeah, all right. So this coming Saturday, February 10th, at 7 p.m. Central Time in the United States, 8 p.m. Eastern, turn on Fox Sports 1, FS1. There is a bowling event from my bowling alley, the PBA, the Professional Bowling Association. And because we go there enough We got some tickets for a handful of us, and so we're showing up when doors open. We're all wearing Dirty Side t-shirts, or at
Yes,
least
you are.
three of us are.
Yes.
Yes, three of us are, and two of people are wearing Dirty Side, or one person, it's only four of us going, wearing Dirty Side tires, the tire race, the rainbow.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to
So,
drape your flag around your shoulders?
oh, I forgot I should bring the flag. Although they may take it from me. They have a very strict policy, believe it or not. The
Okay,
Bowling
don't risk losing the
Association.
flag.
Yeah. So anyway, tune in. It's a very small group of nerds who go to bowling events live. I'm going to be there wearing my Dirty Side t-shirt Saturday night, February 10th, FS1, 7 p.m. Central at the Illinois Classic. I thought that was
I
pretty
want
neat.
to hear whether it's a break in between, what do they call them in bowling? Frames? It's not
Yeah.
frames, is it? What are they called?
Hey now, you want a hey now?
I want a hey now. I want to hear a hey now on TV. Hey! I mean, come on, that would just be
I may have to
amazing.
wait to do that to the end because I don't want to get kicked out too early.
Just get kicked out. If you get a hey now on TV, and what if they like zoom in on the guy that's getting kicked out and we get like the logo? I mean, come
Yeah,
on, think about it.
that's
Sacrifice yourself for the pod, Brian.
I also have a job. I really don't need to lose that job because I got hay now at a bowling event.
Wear a
But
mask.
let's open the vault. Wear a mask. No thanks. I'm done with masks. All right, so the video vault. I have three items in here. And they're going to mimic a little bit of what we're going to talk about in a second. So first off, Martin Brundle reacts to Andretti's rejected bid. 13 minutes on the Sky Sports F1 channel. It
It's a long
obviously,
reaction.
it is, it's in slow motion. And so it's in alignment with most people's opinions, kind of, and we'll get into it in a second. It wasn't anything crazy, but it was nice to hear Martin summarize it, if 13 minutes is a summary. And so I enjoyed that video. F1 races, but it's just the most extreme ones. Extreme F1, 11 minutes on the F1 channel. I enjoyed it. Again, I love these things. When they do these summaries, I eat it up hook, line, and sinker. And then our second and largest news story of the week, I found a great take on it. My thoughts on Lewis Hamilton at Ferrari. It's almost.
He's what? What's
Yeah,
that?
I know. Just hold on. I'll talk more about it in a second. It's almost 6 minutes long. And it is on the Roman Grosjean channel because I really plumbed the depths again. I said everyone can watch Sky Sports or see the YouTubes of these things, but who really wants to know what people think about the Lewis move? And I said Roman Grosjean. He says I didn't know Lewis was going to go to Ferrari. Well, join the club, Roman. Thanks for the hot take. Don't watch it. There's nothing valuable that Rob and I aren't about to say. I like Roman, but. Skip that one. And so with that, we're closing the vault for the news of the week. The week that was.
So this, I think we open on, if this is a boxing match, we'll open on the undercard, which I thought was going to be the big story of the week when we were pulling together the notes until Thursday. So let's hit off Andretti first of all. So this week, I got to be honest, I got pulled in a little bit too much to the optimism that F1 were going to let this happen and that it would be from 2025, let them cut their teeth in F1 and kind of get the operations going before the new regs kind of kick in on 26. So when it came out, to say that I was extremely underwhelmed by it was is an overstatement. But also the manner and the rubbish reasons they gave for why they weren't being allowed in. Before we get each of the takes on it, let's just. Some people were saying, and even and Gunther Steiner was one of them, right? Was quoted as saying that they need to be safe from themselves. It's good for F1 to make sure there are no uncompetitive teams in the lineup. So, although they're really, a lot of bravado from Andretti that they're ready to rot, he was basically saying that it'll be bad for F1 if they come in, and they probably it's good to hold them back a couple of years because they need to be more prepared for this. They need to be ready to go, and it's good to see F1 saving them from themselves. What's your take on that, Brian?
Man, so when we did our predictions, I'll just say this. When we did our predictions, I thought they would be approved this coming year, but not for soon. If you remember, I said 27 would be the season they'd be let in. I didn't really think through the GM engine supplier aspect, and then F1 goes, oh, you can come back in 28 when GM's approved as an engine supplier in F1, and you can use them instead of the Renault. And I'm thinking, you allow Alpine to use the crappy Renault.
Well, this is Yeah, sorry, finish your
Yeah.
thought. Finish
So
your thought.
you allow Alpine to use the crappy engine you don't want them to use. You have an American team who already sucks at the back. You allow them to keep sucking. So I don't understand why you're blocking this bid on those type of reasons. And I agree with you. Why wouldn't you want someone to get a year of prep, if you will, in before the new regs come? Why wouldn't you want someone to get like a little practice? I know maybe they're not gonna light the world on fire the first year, but who expects them to? Who expects any
Well,
new team to come in and be fighting for the championship? I'm sorry, should we relegate everyone not named Red Bull? And then the thing that really pissed me off at the end, as I started thinking through, is, as you said, was that they won't be competitive. We know it. They don't know it. We're helping them from themselves because they won't add value. Add value? Are you kidding me with that kind of language? And then the thing that really annoyed me is of former champions who had F1 teams, and that's why I was trying to just quickly look for this. We talked about this in our Prost episode. So obviously Alain Prost had a team, Stewart Grand Prix, Fittipaldi Automotive, Embassy Racing with Graham Hill, the Surtees Racing organization in Brabham. And so I really expected Andretti to be the seventh of those former world champions to have a team. I still hope they're going to. They hired people, they're spending money, they're building cars. Earlier that week, I saw the picture of the car. I put it in the notes on a rolling road, and they're like, all right, they're getting the car ready. And then
Well,
F1's like, nah, see you in a few years.
this is what really annoyed me. And had Arsenal not destroyed Liverpool 3-1 today, don't know if I mentioned that already, then I probably would have been a lot angrier about this, which is that, okay, the thing in the official statement, not hearsay, they actually put it into writing that the F1 brand will do more for Andretti than the Andretti brand will do to F1. You need to bring value to the sport.
Bring value.
What? Andretti isn't some little upstart that has never raced before. This
Right.
team has got huge racing heritage on almost every series in the world apart from F1 at the
Right.
moment. They know how to put a racing team together. They know how to be competitive. They know how to win. Even if they didn't, you're telling me that the name Andretti will bring less, or Andretti Cadillac, whatever, even though put those two together, right? That will bring less to F1 than Visa, Red RB Cash App, State, or Haas.
Or
And
Haas,
all
exactly.
be less
MoneyGram.
competitive than Haas. I
MoneyGram
mean,
Haas, which is not hasn't been competitive since, well, Romain Grosjean was there 47 years ago when he got there at the beginning. I don't understand that. Like, it's got to be the money. It's got to be them saying that the Concorde Agreement lays out a dollar amount. And if F1 said yes, then they only have to pay hypothetically that dollar amount. The new Concorde Agreement they're building and making will definitely have a higher dollar amount. So then they'll say yes for the higher dollar amount, and then they
no,
can't
they
argue it in
won't.
court.
If you want to go tinfoil hat time,
Yeah.
and maybe it's not that tinfoil hatty, right? By doing that little token gesture of, oh yeah, come back, see us in 2028, the rumor on the socials was that not only will that buy-in amount go up, but they will remove the whole maximum teams of 12, which it currently is apparently, and set it back in at 10. And essentially say your only way in is to say buy Haas or buy someone else. So yeah, come see us again in 2028. Doesn't mean there's going to be an 11th spot allowed anymore by then. And I started thinking about that and I thought, well, I don't get this because surely to goodness, Liberty want to crack the States. They want to get more eyeballs on the sport. And I've only been here a few years, but I do know that you American people, you love to root for a home team.
Yes.
100%. You can see, whether it's the Olympics, whatever it is, but the American audience massively get behind a team of their own. Okay. And Haas isn't quite, I know Haas is an American team, but it's kind
But
of
it's
not.
not all based here. It's, a conglomeration of multi-country parts and
Surely, if you're Liberty, you're looking at a potential Andretti thing and going, ching, because even
Right.
if the pie is being sliced 11 ways rather than 10, it's now one of those Guinness World Records biggest pizza in the world pies rather than some little pie that it is at the moment, right? Because it has to add value and it has to bring more value to the sport. I just don't get it.
So
Just don't.
I don't either, and if I put the tinfoil hat on with you, I wouldn't put it quite pull it down quite as far as you did over your ears. I would say they're waiting for the new Concorde Agreement for a higher buy-in amount, and I think they will not go to a limit of 10 because I could see them trying to find extra money. But I'm going to tell you the buy-in amount's going to go, what is it now, 200 million or something like
200
that.
million, yeah.
I think it won't even double, it won't even triple. I'm thinking we're looking at 800 million or something utterly ridiculous for a new team. And just because they can print money, and there are people, and groups out there, like they did with golf, who just come up with billions of dollars to throw at these things. And I don't see why they wouldn't try to cash in on that. That's what I think they're trying to do. And I think they're doing it to the wrong guy, a guy that Americans love to cheer for, Mario Andretti. And
Well,
Michael Andretti ran in, what was it, 93 or something? And so, whatever. I mean, it's fine and good. The last thing I have on this, and I'll let you close it, the last thing I have, it is annoying. It is frustrating. I do think it's all about money. And I think they're screwing Andretti's chances of getting a team on the grid to get more money. But apparently, and this has been confirmed a couple times, there was an in-person meeting sent from Formula One management to Andretti to kind of talk through this instead of it just coming out like it did. And apparently, it went into the person at Andretti's junk folder. And so they missed the invite to an in-person meeting to discuss this, and it all came out in paper. And that's why so many more people were so frustrated with how this went down, because of a spam filter.
Oh my gosh, you said me too. I'm not even sure I can add anything more after that because that's just crazy. It kind of sums the whole thing up, doesn't it,
It
really?
does. All
But
broke. The whole thing's broken. Whole process.
what I will say is that I was reading Nate Saunders, friend of the show, and hopefully coming back on again one day soon. He did a piece in ESPN on the ESPN website about the kind of the whole thing, and just basically said that Andretti as well. It's just such a nice guy, such a feel-good energy that he brings to the paddock, and just generally revered all around motorsport. So it's not like there's some shot coming in that everyone's like, "Oh, don't let him in. He's a right douchebag." It's actually what seemed like a good guy, world champion in F1, got heritage of a motorsport team, has got loads of money to spend. Has got probably an American audience to bring, even more than it is now. It's tick, 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 tick. I don't see the small-mindedness of
It's got to be
I
money, man.
just
We race for
I
money.
don't
How
get
many, we
it.
talk about it every week at this point.
Yes,
But
but this would generate more money, so we race for more money,
I know,
surely.
but they wanted to generate even more, and they can't do that till the new Concours. Anyway, whatever. Enough. Moving on. We
Moving on to what
had.
else we got to talk about apart from Andretti not being allowed into F1? What happened this week, Brian?
I don't know. There was this gentleman. I think his name is Lou Ham, Lou Hamilton, something. I don't know. He decided that next year I'm gonna move to a different team, and it all came out with an entire year in between here and there. But he's going to Ferrari, and that is just insane. I mean, like, do you think when he was talking to John Elkann and the leadership at Ferrari about this, do you think he's like, "Well, can you do $50 million a year?" And they're like,
Copy, we'll check that.
and he's like, "What about $60 million a year?" And they're like,
We'll come back to you.
I mean, like, do like, is he ready for what's going to happen over the team radio?
Yeah, let's get all into that. Let's for anybody that has heard it but didn't understand what happened, let's kind of look at the timeline of how this all came to pass. And I'm going to go way back with the first piece, and I'm stolen this from either Nate's article or an Autosport article, so one of you can have credit for this. It was noted that ahead of last year's Monaco Grand Prix, Hamilton and Vasseur, who go way back, were seen in a lot of conversations, but they laughed off reports that the British driver was about to sign for Ferrari. But apparently, Elkann, who's got senior role in Ferrari, continued chasing Hamilton's signature even after he'd agreed the extension with Mercedes. And apparently those negotiations intensified all the way through January. So he's like not letting this go. He's picking up the phone. Hey, Lewis, come on, come over here. I know you've signed for Mercedes. There's ways around that. I'm sure you've got some kind of opt out in there. And anyway, and that story, and I remember us talking about it, and that kind of went a little bit quiet. And then all of a sudden, it just broke on Thursday morning, but apparently it actually happened on Wednesday. Hamilton had gone to see Toto Wolff for breakfast on Wednesday morning. He's in the middle of saying, "Can you pass the eggs?" And he went, "Yeah, here they are, Toto. And by the way, I'm going to Ferrari." I'm pretty sure it went down like that somehow. Toto's reports on it are that it was very amicable. He kind of, as soon as he said, he could see it in his eyes that he's made the decision. He said he didn't even bother trying to change his mind, and they kind of sorted the logistics of what needs to happen, and then carried on having a nice breakfast because he said our working relationship might be ending, but we're friends. We'll be friends for life, and we've had a phenomenal time together. Which I want to come back to this in a minute because I thought that was an amazing kind of. If that is how it went down, I think that's absolutely amazing. And
Agreed.
then it started leaking around. I was just out of It must have been Thursday morning UK time. The rumors had started to swirl because by the time I woke up at 6 a.m., so what was that, 11 in the UK, the rumors were getting a bit more momentum. And I was kind of looking at this, and it's like, oh, Hamilton's going to Ferrari. I'm like, no, little interception here, Brian, because this won't mean anything to you. But that day happened to be transfer deadline day in English
I
football.
saw people talking
So,
about that, and I really didn't give a
yeah,
rip, but yeah.
it was the last day. Normally, it's a frenetic end to the window. You have to buy any players that you want to use between now and the end of the season by midnight. And usually there's gazillion spent by all these teams. But because of a similar thing to the cost cap, a lot of the teams have been hamstrung and almost no dealings were going on. And it was just flying around. Everybody was picking it up, going, oh my gosh, the biggest transfer on deadline day isn't going to be a football team. It's going to be Ferrari getting Lewis Hamilton. I'm like, okay, yeah, funny meme. Well done. Great. And then it started being picked up by bigger organizations. And the one that got it for me before we got any confirmation official at all was once Sky Sports News and BBC started
Right.
reporting on it, you started thinking, oh my God, this is actually happening. Because those two don't tend to just go on rumor and hearsay. They kind of like to do the breaking news of stuff that's actually happening. And that was it. I think by later that day, we knew it. Lewis Hamilton will be a Ferrari driver in 2025.
Do you remember? So here's the thing, when this was all going down, like not that long ago, it was, I think it was the off season, if not, it was the very end of 23. Somebody went on Twitter, a journalist, and said, "I have the biggest story that you won't believe when it breaks." And everyone got real geeked up, and then nothing happened. And so we're like, "What?" And then Will Buxton on Wednesday night, our time, put out a tweet, "Huge news about to break. You will not believe the magnitude." And then Jonty from Jonty's Corner, who we trade a lot of notes with on Twitter, made a joke about it being that Will had to take a big poo. And while that may not be as funny as it sounds, when I read it on Twitter at Wednesday night while I was sitting in a team meeting and started laughing out loud, I had to cop to checking my Twitter feed when this happened. And that's what it was. And so you're right, it was wild. I woke up early ahead of my alarm Thursday morning, and you and I started trading notes. And then we were like, oh my God, this is actually going to happen. And I hit the treadmill that morning, ran a couple miles watching anything I could find on YouTube from people who were just trying to get the first note out. It was wild, and it is wild. Lewis had an opt out in his for the second year of his contract. He's exercising it, and he will race for Ferrari in 2025. He'll get one season in on the old regs and the old car before everything changes, and we'll see what happens there. I got to do the business angle of this really fast, and we'll get into more of it in a second here. During the day, Thursday, Ferrari stock went up. The market cap went up $7 billion with a B. Billion. That's utter insanity. And so I love this story on so many angles because then it opens up all the dominoes of what happens next.
Before we get into that, I was just going to say that there are sometimes when things happen in a sport that are so huge, and you think they're huge because you follow the sports. It's a big, big deal. Me as a Ferrari fan, I'm like, oh my God, we're gonna have Lewis Hamilton driving for Ferrari. So it's a big deal. But you don't think that it registers on anyone else's kind of radar outside of the people that are geeky about F1. I was down at the bus stop, and one of the mothers that was dropping a kid off, she knows nothing about motorsport, let alone F1. And but she knows that I do the podcast. And she came to me this morning. She went, "Who's this guy that's moved to Ferrari that's causing all of this stir?" I was like, "Oh my gosh!" And if I needed anything to kind of cement the fact this was a major, major event, it was that conversation right there. Because any other type of F1 news would have just flown over her head kind of completely. But the fact she opened up with that, I was like, "Oh my gosh! It's hit your radar."
Even last night, I was out with a friend having a couple drinks at the local saloon. And the owner of the bar, who I see all the time, I don't think he knows my name even, but he knows my face. He'll always say hi. He came running over. He knows I love Formula One. He came running over, big fist bump. He goes, "Dude, Hamilton to Ferrari, what is going on?" And I'm like, "Constantine, I didn't know you enjoyed F1 as much as this." And so we got into a long conversation about it late last night. Didn't expect that. So yeah, it is. It has waves beyond. I even told my wife Thursday morning, and she was like, "What?" So
Yeah,
she even
I
knew what that
mean,
meant.
it's so kind of let's settle down from the recoil, which I think is probably what happened to us on Thursday into Friday, and kind of start thinking through what this means, right? So Let's first talk about 2024 season
Yeah,
before we start
chronological
looking
order.
forward, right?
Yeah.
So, interested to get your spin on this because I think through either the Discord back and forth or Twitter back and forth, me and you might have slightly different views on this. But let's start with Mercedes team dynamics. I don't think that Lewis loses his number one driver status this year, unless performances on the track mean that George has got more points than him. The typical kind of thing is that we have a
Right.
nominated number one, but if the other one is like got all the wins and got all the points, Mercedes will normally support whoever is in the lead. But I think we go into race one, I still think Lewis is number one in that team.
That may be true on paper and the way they say it, but I'm willing to bet there will be many decisions, not early on even, but when we get to summer break, I think it'll become abundantly clear it'll all be for one person. I don't see how they don't. And like,
Well,
there's going to
if
be
they get to summer
things.
break
Hang
and
on, I'm still
Hamilton's
talking
gone,
over
go on.
here. I know you're all excited. Calm down. So what I don't know, seriously, is in 24, when they know for an entire year that he won't be there next year and will drive for a competitor. And you and I both agreed that we think after McLaren, which we both bought the Vegas hype and the real hype about them being number two, we were debating three, and we both had Mercedes or Ferrari. And you picked Ferrari, and I picked Mercedes. So they're fighting for a podium in the World Constructors Championship with this other team he's going to. And in regular seasons, when people leave teams, we hear stories they don't want them to know about next year's car. Not only next year's, but new regs car. So I think by the time we hit summer break, it will be. Unless Lewis is blowing him out on track, kind of like he did this last year, if it's even close, I think it'll become pretty apparent George is number one. It may not be right off the bat, and I agree with you, but I think it'll shift over time, and by summer break, it'll be almost all for George. Now, they'll still let Lewis flip, the flip who goes out first and those type of normal things, and if you're leading, you get preferential strategy. I don't think they'll undo that to that extent, but I think you'll see George getting upgrades first and all those types of things.
I think, well, again, so if Lewis has blown George out of the water by summer break and Mercedes need to maximize their
Right.
results, why'd you
That's a
cut
different
his foot
story.
nose off to spite your face, right? So I think it's I think I said to Rob Reed on WhatsApp, I think it's Lewis is to give, not George. No, George is to take, not Lewis is to give. So I think Lewis gets in as number one. George, the mantle is kind of up for the taking by George. If he can really kind of rise to the challenge, I agree with you. As soon as George gets even level or
That's
shows
it.
that he's level, I think you side with George, right?
Tie goes to
But
the
if
runner,
George,
and George gets it on a, in a, even remotely close, George gets the favor.
yeah, I think you're right. Now, the interesting thing would be is that, do you remember way back when we first spoke to Paul, when he first came on our pokey little pod and we were getting all the Schumacher stories? We were asking them about drivers and how much they really know about what's going on in development and all that kind of good stuff. And he was like, "Well, it depends on the driver. Some of them just giving feedback all the time. Hey, this is understeering. It's light at the back. It's blah 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 blah. The suspension's off." And I think Blake Brake F1 was telling us some drivers give really really good feedback, as in they tell you exactly what's wrong with the car. Somebody just coming in and saying, "Oh, it's a bit slow," doesn't really help you. But a good driver and good engineer combo will have really really good feedback. However, that's where a lot of drivers end. And it was people like Seb and Schumacher that went even further than that and would be involved in the almost back at the factory in the design process, wanting to understand, well, if we did this and if we did that,
Right.
how would that impact the car? I don't know where Lewis is on this front, right? So if Lewis is amazing at giving feedback so they can develop the car, I think he's professional enough to carry on doing that. I don't know that there'll be too many doors closed in his face back at the factory, or you can't come in here because we're talking about next year's car, because I don't know how much he actually gets involved in the technicalities of what's coming next. I think he's very, very good at giving the feedback. We've heard that all the time from race engineers, but it'll be just interesting. I don't know if much
Yeah.
changes in a weird way.
So that's a really, I think you said that well for a change. In terms of the actual interactions, right? In terms of the way the team operates, do we see a huge change? Probably not. But in terms of people's perspective and favor and sort of what they're building towards, I definitely think there'll be a shift. Now, here's the kicker. And so Lizzle Bizzle on Twitter was making a comment about how this was similar to when he left McLaren. And I disagree because he didn't have seven world titles at the time when he left McLaren. And he didn't build six of them with this team. And so I think there will be a lot of hugs, if you will, on the way out. Like, I don't think this will be acrimonious. I'd be shocked
no, neither
if
do
this
I.
gets acrimonious at all. So I think this will be a kind of, you know, business as usual to some extent. A lot of emotions for a lot of people. Kind of like Toto said, you know, it's I knew it and he's a friend. And they've achieved a lot together. And don't forget all of the constructors' titles, even the one that Nico got for them as the driver's title. I mean, they did a lot in Lewis's time 100%. At Mercedes. So I think it's a celebration to some extent. But the question I have for you is, can we hold on to Mercedes for a second? What happens in 25? Who takes that seat?
I wasn't sure if we're going to go there or we're going to go to Ferrari in 24.
Let's hold Mercedes
let's do it. Let's do it. It doesn't really matter what order we talk about it. You're right. So there is an elephant in the room here, which is the Lewis leaving and going to Ferrari isn't naturally filled by just everyone moves around the circle. This is now musical chairs. And
yes.
Suddenly I think there's a number of drivers that can see an open chair and the music's about to stop. And who's going to get their butt down on that chair, right? So first things first, what happens to Sainz? Sainz is out of a Ferrari drive next year, 100%. So does he just switcheroo into Mercedes and everything's over and then we wait for the rest of silly season to kick in? Or does Toto put his money where his mouth is and after spending all this time bigging up Mick and saying how Mick deserves a seat in F1 and surely his time will come, and now all of a sudden he's got an empty seat, will he go, oh, perfect, I can put Mick into there? Does he go for the name of the young lad that's just come through
Antonelli.
Into Mercedes? Yes. Does he promote him up? Is it too soon for him? What's the other rumors we've seen? Does Seb come back? Does Valtteri come back?
I've seen that one.
So it's this huge unknown over one seat. And whoever takes that seat, it can either, I think you put the gif out on Twitter of, you know, is it the dominoes? Because does that kickstart silly season? Or if it's just to say a Sainz and Lewis switcheroo, then actually that kind of stubs that one, it's dead.
So, I still think we have, so we talked about this last week and I was wrong on one part, but right on the other. We said when Lando re-signed and when Charles re-signed, and hang on, yank the mic, Mike F, we've got a Charles aspect with Ferrari. We'll get to the Ferrari team in a second of what this means. But man, when we said they re-signed and you said maybe silly season is dead, you said maybe, you didn't say it was. And I said, not a chance. It's still going to be nuts. I just didn't think we'd see Lewis as part of it. I still thought half
the
grid would be
moving. I didn't say it was dead. I just said that.
Yeah, no, you said maybe. You said you didn't think
away.
It was. I know. I didn't say you did, said that. You said,
okay,
could it be?
Okay.
And I said, not a chance. I said, it's still going to be at least half the teams playing, you know, roulette with their drivers. I did not anticipate Carlos and Lewis being part of this.
No.
So now it's...
In fact, last week, we run those down as they're... Well, they're done.
They're locked.
You went, McLaren's done, Ferrari's done,
yeah.
Mercedes are
wrong,
done.
Wrong. And so I still think now, I think the Checo seat, like when you see these movements, I think it dislodges people in other places. And I think now the Red Bull seat is in play, a Checo seat.
Nice.
I think everything is open now. And Carlos, if I'm him, and last night I may have asked ChatGPT to make me a Carlos Sainz resume, which I'm going to put on a piece of Word and put it out in Twitter at some point this week. Everybody is available, basically, except effectively Max and Charles, I guess, and Lando, hypothetically. And Oscar.
And Lewis, because he's made his mind up. And I don't think
he's right, but
he yet.
Moved. He's a mover, is what I'm saying. And so, anyway, just nuts.
You know, the Red Bull seat, right? So... Everyone thought that kind of Red Bull had got all the power of there's this one seat that everybody's going to want and who's going to take it off Checo. Now kind of the power dynamic switches more to, does it switch to someone like a Sainz, which can go and shop himself? Because he's a quality driver. No,
and he's a Red Bull Academy guy from back in the day, right?
Yeah, does he? Yeah. I mean, it would be fantastic to see, because you're going to have a Mercedes open spot. You're going to have a Red Bull not really kind of half open spot, but nobody expects Checo to retain it. So you've got two very good teams with a potential opening and a very good driver in Sainz
right.
that needs somewhere to go.
Exactly right. And then the rumor that started and has been since shut down a little bit was that Albon was being shopped to Red Bull on a 3-year deal. At Red Bull, he already did that. We've talked about this. He already partnered Max. It did not work. I don't see that. However, here's the thing I think is interesting. Albon is at Williams, powered by Mercedes. The relationship between Williams and Mercedes proper is not a joke. I mean, it's real. Like, there's a relationship there. I could see Albon in this seat.
If you're Albon right now, right? Talk about having the biggest smile on your face, because you're either at Williams that look like they're on an upwards curve
And
and
love
they've
you.
definitely and they definitely love you and they're building around you because you're the shining star
Right.
of the team. So stay where I am, I'm a hero. You've got Mercedes and Red Bull both being touted as might want to come after your services as well.
Right.
I mean, Alex Albon has just got to be kind of just strutting around the place like, oh, bom,
Plus,
bom.
he's got an amazing golfing girlfriend who's really cute too, but that's all right.
Okay,
Let's
so
go to Ferrari for a minute here. Can we do that?
let's go to Ferrari for 24.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I actually think this is the opposite of, not opposite, but I think this is different than Mercedes in 24. I think you have a guy who's got hurt feelings because they gave his seat away, and he's the only person on the grid who won a race last year, not named Max or Checo, not at Red Bull. He
yeah, I
won the
mean,
race. He beat Charles at Monza in front of the Tifosi. He held off. Charles was sending it in the last lap, trying to overtake him dangerously. Carlos held him off. Brilliant drive. We talked about it. And then he goes and wins Singapore. He's a multiple race winner. He's proven himself to be a great teammate everywhere he's been. I don't understand what the downside is of having Carlos Sainz on your team. And for Ferrari, Lewis Hamilton, obviously, seven-time champion, big name, amazing driver, amazing, one of the greatest of all time. I get that. You go for it. But if I'm Carlos, like, you got to think a little bit, you got to be a little pissed, no?
oh, 100%. I mean, if you can't, I'll come back to Carlo in a second, but if you think about what Ferrari have done, I think Fred is going to get that team righted. I was thinking about this. I was talking about this with Jim the other day on the walk back down to the school bus stop. I was like, you know what? We didn't actually mock too many strategy calls last
Nope.
year from
Correct.
Ferrari. Yeah, you got to play the radio a few times, and yes, there were the occasional plan Fs and all this kind of stuff, but actually didn't really make a complete
They brought
shambles
out
of anything
four
last year.
tires every time. It was like
Yeah,
they
every
knew.
time they're all the same color for
Yeah.
the right weather conditions. So
Mostly.
there was no
What are
massive
these
dropping of the
hards?
ball. And now what you've got here is bringing in someone of Lewis Hamilton's
Who for sure
status
has a
into the
relationship. You
team.
already said this.
Yep, but bringing someone of that status into the team, oh my gosh, if you want to show to the Tifosi and to the F1 world that you're serious about things and writing it, then you bring somebody in with all this experience that, as well as you, Fred, can help right the ship and maybe kind of really fix this team and get them challenging again. Then you come to which driver do you let go? Now, I think, and I could be way off here because Charles has probably got a lot of value to the team as well, but I think the one big differentiate for me is there's almost 4 years between them. I think it's what,
Yeah.
20, or maybe it's three, 26 plays 29. I think something like that. So Charles is very, very good, isn't quite as consistent yet as Carlo, but is Carlo going to really help mentor Charles along? No. Here I've got a seven-time world champion that's going to want to come in and go out on a high. Oh, and by the way, while you're here, he's going to be like the Seb to the Mick.
Yes.
I think you've got a Lewis that can coach Charles to become the champion he probably could be.
I'm happy you said that. I like that is the one thing I wanted to say too. In 25 and beyond, it's going to take Charles being open to that. He's been number one at Ferrari since basically since Seb left, right? And at the end, it was clear it was going to Charles, which is one of the reasons Seb left, and it was kind of acrimonious. It was obvious that they wanted Charles to be number one. And so Carlos has never been given preferential anything since he's been there. It's all been for Charles, in my opinion, just obviously as a fan from the outside. It'll be different in 25 because the seven-time world champion GOAT is walking in. And while maybe they'll say there's no number one or however they want to do it, neither one of them are going to defer to the other at this point. We will have, for the first time in a while in F1, two guys who really try to beat their teammate. And yes, Lewis is a good teammate, and when he's given orders, he'll complain, but he usually will comply. And yes, Charles is the same thing. I think if they're given orders, they'll listen. They'll complain and say that's wrong, but they usually will comply. They're not gonna not do it, like Max. And so, to me, I just think 25 will be the most curious year at Ferrari in terms of how that dynamic happens. However, I think if Lewis sticks around for 25 and maybe to 26, I think the things that Charles doesn't have yet, Lewis can teach him. Like, I think the upside on Charles is much higher than on Carlos. You include age, I agree. But I actually think, in terms of talent, again, a completely uneducated fan's eye, it does feel like Charles has all that talent, but he's not consistent. You said that. He can't figure out how to squeeze it out of the race pace. He doesn't have the ideas on, like, the strategies. He does whatever they say and then complains after the fact. Maybe there's a lot of things he could do better. I don't know. But if you take that talent and you show him how it's done. You put a Lewis Hamilton there. Now he's a little older. Maybe he didn't want to hear it from Seb in the beginning when he was there at Ferrari. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what this does. This really honestly could launch Charles to be the next world champion when Lewis retires.
Yeah, I mean, all things being equal, if Fred can get that ship sorted and the development can kind of keep pace, and you know, they had a car that should have taken them closer to Max the year before last. Last year, everybody just got caught out by how good they were. Next year, probably be the same. But if Ferrari can take a move back towards them a little bit, then I think it sets them up well. Then you get Lewis coming in for one final year of these regs. Again, too much to close the gap completely, probably. But as long as you can keep becoming more competitive and maybe win more than one race in a year, fantastic. I'd just be interested to see what happens in 26.
Yeah, but, I am too. And, you know, the thing is, and I don't want to ignore Max, right? I didn't mean to do that. I'm not saying he wins because of this relationship by default. What you're doing is you're bringing in someone to box with. And so now all of a sudden you can go face the champion, right? You know, you've had the sparring sessions. You're ready. And so I think it'll make him well-rounded and ready to then battle Max. And we may actually see at some point, 26 or somewhere, 27, we may see Charles and Max giving us some epic racing at the front. God, please, please, from my lips to your ears, make this happen, F1 gods.
So we kind of skirted, we kind of touched it and then quickly moved on again. What do you think Sainz does in 24? I mean, he has to just go in with it with a I'll show you type attitude, right, and try and win as much as he can. Obviously, probably doesn't want to win for Ferrari too much. He has to be selfish and win for himself now. He's got to be. But then I think that dynamic in that team is he going to listen if he's ever asked to move over? I mean,
I'm ready to play the sound from Silverstone. You remember when Charles was ahead in the behind the safety car and they had Carlos behind him and they said back up 10 car lengths to give as much space to Charles, and he came out with this. That's where that came from, because they were giving Charles preferential treatment. If they do that to Carlos now, I think he just won't answer the radio. He won't even say stop inventing. He'll like, can't hear you, and then he's going to take off. Like, if that's what he has to do, though, right? I mean, he has to look like he's playing nice, but he has to continue to pad his resume until his next drive is secured.
He can't afford to be feeling sorry for himself and start the season with a slew of awful performances, because right now I would say his... I don't want to say he's hot property, but he is a very good driver.
Yes.
Which I don't know if there's more going on behind the scenes or whether Mercedes are even interested in him or not. Everybody said he'll be Audi in 26
because of his dad and the family and all that. Seems a little, but, I don't know, maybe.
Well, even if it's true, there's two racing years to go for that to happen. 2 years is a very long time in F1. If he screws the pooch this year and either doesn't get a seat or gets a not desirable seat, then other people are going to go past him. And does he become the automatic choice just because of his dad in Audi, or are other people coming on the rise? I mean, it'd be really, really interesting to see how Sainz deals with this year, because whereas I think that you said it already perfectly, it's a different dynamic. Mercedes is just about, I don't think there'd be any animosity. It's George's to come and try and show that he's the number one driver and earn his stripes for next year, when he probably will be, unless they do bring in, I mean, the other one that we haven't touched on yet, the other one that was getting a lot of momentum was Alonso to Mercedes.
Yeah, I don't see that. Do you see that?
No, but stranger things have happened.
I know, yeah, I can't see Toto wanting to deal with that personality. And I don't mean the one from last year. I mean from every other year. You know, it may not seem like it, but Mercedes always seems to have relative driver harmony. And, you know, you don't have the drivers going after each other since Nico and Lewis. And I really believe Toto's trying to avoid that thing from happening the way it happened again. I think
he took
the team apart. So I don't think he wants to bring in anybody who's a bit of a poison pill, potentially. I could be wrong. But one last thing on 24 Ferrari. When we talked about favorites at Mercedes, I think everything goes to Charles. So that's the point. Oh. I know you said this. Like, Carlos will have to basically fight his team on his side of the paddock alone against the world, and he's got to go out, like you said. He cannot have bad races. He can't be in the gravel every other day. And if as long as he's consistently in the top six, let's say, I think that'll be good enough. And if he has some good performances on the podium every here and there, I really think that'll get him a seat somewhere. Again, like I said, he is always the other half of the bromance sandwich. I don't understand, like, why everyone wouldn't want him on their team. And maybe that's something where, you know, and I don't know if he has a relationship at all with George, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I do think Carlos is fighting from the underdog position at Ferrari in 24.
I think Carlos, I think it was on the Prost episode where we said that Prost was a bit upset with how Senna had 20 mechanics around his car, right? and he had two. I think that is going to be, science is going to be Carlos, Prost this year.
His wing's going to be put back on with like masking tape, sending him back out. Yeah, you're fine.
So yeah, he's definitely getting that. I mean, even if some reason he's potentially winning the world championship, you still get the feeling that they're going to be giving Charles the upgrades first. It's like,
I agree.
So one last angle on the Mercedes seat. So this was really hilarious because it was like not just a dirty side of the track in joke, because yes, anybody that knows Paul probably knew this, but when the picture of Valtteri sitting at a table with a phone in front of him waiting for it to ring, with purposefully the location tagged in the image of being Brackley, and the internet lost its mind because it's Valtteri coming home. You know, Toto's going to ring him up and say, just come and race for us for a year or two while we get this second seat, because he'd be a great wingman for George. And I kind of looked at it first. I was like, oh my gosh, even I got taken in for a second until I scrolled to the second picture.
Right.
Which was to show that he'd been playing darts. And that by itself...
at Paul's dartboard, nonetheless.
Well, this, if you didn't know, it's just a picture of him waiting for the phone to ring, and then right, a random picture of the fact that he was enjoying a game of darts while he's
and
waiting
the
for
tag,
the phone to
ring. And the tag, the Brackley tag, is large. I mean, it is at the top, large, and it is big.
And anybody who doesn't know, Mercedes are based in Brackley, so all right, the things are adding up here. Valtteri waiting for the phone to ring, picture tagged in Brackley. Then the dartboard has got a certain name over the top of it, which anyone that happens to follow Pit Lane Paul will know that Southgate 79 is the one and only Pit Lane Paul, who obviously works for Valtteri. So what are we thinking here, Brian? Is this innocent preseason get together where Valtteri goes over to Paul's house to plan out the new season, and it was just about those two being together, and of course Brackley's just coincidental because that's where Paul lives? Or is it a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek joke about something that did actually happen, that he swung by and had a little chat with Toto?
If there were an actual chat, we don't get the picture with the phone. If we're an actual chat, at best we get the dart picture. I think this was cool. I don't know. We should ask Paul. I sent him the picture from when Reddit picked it up and had the dart picture, and people were freaking out about it because of Brackley. And like, oh my God. And I'm thinking, well, it's just Pit Lane Paul. I sent it to Paul with a copy to Rob, and he wrote back, ha ha ha. Yeah, thanks, Paul. That was really
insightful.
Very insightful. I wrote, Paul, the entire F1 internet is going crazy because Valtteri was playing darts with you at your place because of the location. He's ha ha ha. Thanks, Paul.
Let's just fantasize for a second, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it outside the realm of possibility that bringing somebody back in that has working knowledge of your team, where you need them maybe to see out the last 2 years of these regulations while you get driver X, whether it's the reserve driver lad, whether it's Mick, whoever it is, it's too soon for them now, and they might as well just get used to the new regs. Do you look to bring somebody like that that's got the working knowledge and would probably be not a happy number two, but would be a good teammate to someone like George? Why wouldn't that conversation have happened?
Who is a hell of a great driver.
Exactly.
Who can win races on his own. If George has an off day, it's not like it's a big drop-off. Valtteri could easily take a Mercedes around that track the same way George does. Yeah, I mean, that would be brilliant. It would be great for Mercedes to have someone like Valtteri back. But again, it's not for this year. It's for 25.
Oh, so yeah, sorry, that's last year, yeah. Last year of these...
Last year, exactly. So, and so Valtteri, you know, I don't know. That was my point on the dominoes, is do we start seeing any of them fall early? And I don't just mean being announced, but I mean like actual changes starting to happen. And I'm not saying at Mercedes. I think basically the door to silly season, like our video vault, was opened wide and has not been closed. And so I don't know when the next thing will happen.
No,
it'll be
have
soon.
Have you ever seen Have you ever seen The Italian Job with Michael Caine?
No, I saw the remake with Marky Mark.
Okay, you go and educate yourself and see the original. But
I did actually see the remake with Marky Mark.
The door to silly season has been completely blown off. You can't even close that door now. I mean, it is just a
Yeah,
bomber's gone
agreed.
off and it's in smithereens everywhere. It's
So,
100% open.
couple last things on this topic. First off, the reactions. I just wanted to highlight a couple reactions. On Reddit, again, I love Formula Dank. If you're not on the subreddit, you should be. It's pretty funny half the time. There was a good meme. Lewis is scared of George. That's why he's moving to Ferrari. And I mean, it's a joke, but it actually made me laugh. And then here's the one that I loved. I loved this. And this showed me something about McLaren boys that I didn't really see in all the videos. You did at the end of the year when they were joshing with each other a little bit more. But Oscar was out. He's, according to him, just been on out for a run. Have I missed anything? You know, like right, 2 hours into the Lewis news. And that blew up. I mean, millions and millions of impressions on views on it. And Lando quickly writes back with a picture of Lando himself making like a, I don't know, face. And the two of them start going back and forth on Twitter. And it was hilarious because then Lando takes off after that. And he basically says, I understand that without my agreement, Oscar Piastri has put out a press release late this morning that I'm running for him next year. That is wrong. I have not signed a contract with Oscar Piastri's running club for 2025. I'll not be running for Oscar next year. And then Oscar, the way his contract was reviewed, he goes, running contract recognition board, aware of this? So the two of them just took all these memes. It was like a 3D meme generator from Lewis's news to the running to Oscar's contract situation to the tweet he'd put out last year. Oh man, I loved it. I saw that and it just made me happy. That was the type of energy I needed from F1 socials at that time. But yeah, those were just a couple reactions I wanted to highlight to this
No,
chaos.
that the Oscar one was just, it was amazing. It was just brilliant with that whole, been out for a run. Did I miss anything? It's just obviously funny runs through the family because his mom is great on
She is funny.
Twitter and he's brilliant as well. But it's just what's going to happen now is, I mean, how tired is Lewis going to be and Carlo
Of
of
answering this question
all
every
the
day.
interviews
Oh my
that are
God.
coming are their way from testing? From the first Grand Prix, it's going to be constantly how many times is Fred Vasseur going to be asked about it? How time is Toto going to be asked about it? I mean, I know the journalists will need to ask some of this, but I've got a funny feeling that any time anything happens around Carlo maybe not getting the right treatment, or you just know this story just runs for the entire year now.
Yes. Every time they bring out three tires for Carlos, they're going to say it was done on purpose, not a mistake anymore. No, I agree. And yeah, that's the thing. The last thing I have on this entire silly season discussion, and we've done this before, but as an American growing up in America, people don't change teams before the season's over here. That's not a thing. I've said this 100 times.
It's unique
LeBron
to
doesn't
Formula One, I
like
think.
It is. LeBron doesn't like, you know what? We're almost at the halfway point of the season. I just want to tell everyone I'm playing for the Celtics next year. Like,
The
that would
only
never
time,
happen in a billion years. And yet,
the only
this
time it
happened.
happens in
We're a whole
football.
season ahead now. A whole
Yeah,
season.
I know. I understand time, Brian. Come on, calm down.
Whole season.
The only time this happens in football is like when you're running your contract down. If your contract is going to expire at the end of next season, what they let you do is from January, when you've only got 6 months remaining on it, you're free to start talking to other teams and sign a pre-contract agreement with the next team that you want to move to. So, which is kind of like this and kind of like what we would traditionally see in the summer. But that tends to be, it's well known. They know the player isn't happy, isn't going to stay around. They wait to run their contract down and off they go. But this isn't somebody running their contract down. This is a massive move. And while part of me wants to poke fun at you for getting like, you can't believe it, you're beside yourself as this is an entire season. And what I wanted to say to you was, right, it normally happens from the summer anyway, like half a season. So this is only half a season earlier. Get over yourself. And as I'm trying to say those words to yourself, I'm going, oh my God, it's a whole season. I mean, there was a little bit of a swirl at one point where everybody got super excited that it was about to happen now. And the Lewis was going to Ferrari for the 2024 season. And I think that was just a little bit of the internet going a bit like losing their mind because of what was going on. But I think it was
So,
also because of this. A
yeah,
year?
a full year. I know. And even the summer thing, that's why I think I predicted a very silly season, but starting at the summer, I was way off in terms of timing, but I do still think we'll see a lot of this. There's a tiny bit of me as well that wonders if there's an ongoing set of discussions about letting him out now and moving now and trying to figure out who the replacement would be because of the duration of this time. Like
I don't think he gets his seat now. I don't think Sainz goes anywhere. They'd have to fire him and release him from his contract.
What if Carlos, his team, and Ferrari were out there discussing with other teams, would anyone like Carlos this season?
But then somebody somewhere has to get binned in order for that
I
to happen.
Understand
there isn't
that.
An open seat. The only possibility of that was if there was going to be a swapperoo where they said, Carlo, come to Mercedes, and that would have happened to need to have happened, and like now, so they had time to get ready for testing.
What if, and there was a picture of Checo with Christian Horner having dinner. They were all smiling, but what if it were Carlos, welcome back to the Red Bull team. You're going to partner Max. Because you know, let's be honest, Helmut Marko would do this in a second. He would take Carlos over Checo in a split second, and I'm fairly certain Horner would do it too. Again,
yeah, mate,
I know, I'm really, the tinfoil is so low on my head, I've pulled the hat down so far, it's scraping my cheeks. But let me just tell you.
Because the official communications that came out from both teams and then Lewis all talked about next year, that killed it for me.
Nope.
Until the official announcements came out, it was a possibility, but I don't think it happens.
Lewis had a two-year contract, now it's 1 year because he exercised his option. Who knows? I'm just saying.
Then he would have to break his contract to do that, wouldn't he? Because he's
but
exercised.
They mutually might agree to do this.
There's a lot of mutual. That's a three-way love triangle.
You know, it's more than that because I think someone has to go to Mercedes. I think Carlos has to go somewhere else. I mean,
I'm doing the Red Bull thing. There's your love triangle, right? You've got to say that they could check.
Checo's not going to Mercedes. I think Valtteri would be going to Mercedes. I know, I'm way off the deep end. This is the hypothetical. This is when your
buddy... I was kind of... The only one that made sense to move quickly there would be that... I don't think this is going to happen,
but there's a very small part of me that's hoping it does. Just to get rid of this hangover of talking about it for a friggin' year.
Just to close the silly season discussion down, what this definitely has done is driven a stake through the heart of both of our predictions that we made only a couple of weeks ago of what would be the first driver announcement to be made. I predicted it would be, Lawson to AlphaTauri.
Yes.
I think when I predicted it, it was still called AlphaTauri. And you said...
Pierre Gasly, the gas man, to Williams to partner Alex Albon.
That's right. So both those are wrong. So we can strike that off the list for reviewing it at the end of the season to see how we did. We thought that one was a slow burner and we wouldn't find out who was wrong until the mid-season
summertime.
Break. How wrong we were.
Oh my God, this is amazing. I love this sport. Just when you think it's the off-season and you're like, oh man, what are we going to do for content for the podcast? And then Thursday morning I write Rob a WhatsApp. I'm like, yep, solved. I cannot wait to see what happens here. And like we were saying before, We've done it. Like, for anyone who loves NASA and nerds and space travel, the ionization blackout is over, people. We can talk to NASA. It's back. The season is here now. We've got car reveals, livery launches, Drive to Survive, preseason testing, and the first race is this month. I mean, it is here.
Is it this month?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, for some reason I thought it was the first weekend in March was the first race of the season.
Well, it starts in February.
Wow.
The race is March 2nd. March 2nd.
Oh.
But it
that's
starts
not
this month.
Brian, but...
It's the practices starts this month.
Okay,
race.
True. Yeah, I'll give you that. You really got me excited then when you said the first race was this month.
The race itself is March 2nd. But anyhow, it is here. It's less than a month away. We've got all the stuff going on. I couldn't be more excited. I'm happy you guys are all with us here on the Dirty Side. This was a lot of fun discussion. I hope you guys had a great time too. Rob, close us out, man.
No, you know, I'm not any good at doing that. You do all the thanks for listening, and then you say bye, and then I edit in the music after that. That's how we do it.
Well, you just did it. Thanks for joining, everybody. See you in a week's time.